Professor Spar, workshop room 243. March. Hello.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Are
you
talking to me?
Well, hello to you, too.
So this has been being set up. I'm just going to...
have any of you... I'm hoping that all of you are taking advantage of like, the Civics 101 and other workshops that are being offered by the library. All of the workshops work with one another. There's Kevin's Civics 101. He went over, you know, the legal systems and what he knew. And other things to learn. And Tony went over secondary resources. And that's really a great place. That was a great workshop because it gave you a place to start your legal research and to do you don't know anything about the subject. So it really is... they're both very good workshops, and I hope you can gain something from this workshop as well, and then the next one that's going to be offered as well. Now we're going to be discussing like where you would look if you were trying to find statutes, cases, and administrative law. And if you don't feel like doing a whole lot of typing, my slide, PowerPoint is right there, and you can just type in the slide. And after the PowerPoint, there are a number of handouts for you so that you can take away a lot of the sources. Because there's no way you're going to remember all this stuff. It's a lot of stuff, and there's no way you're going to remember all of it. So hopefully with the handout, you'll find it useful. So we'll just wait for to go live, and we'll be ready to go. Since we may be short of time towards the end, since we're getting late started, I'm also going to give you my card, and I'm going to give you the schedule for the other workshops. Okay.
Yeah.
each other, right?
Nope.
Well, how about someone else each
other? Hello.
Yeah, sure.
So what we're going to do is we're going to, you have a PowerPoint, right? That's all you need. Mm-hmm.
We're just barely going to get covered in backwards.
All right. That's the doctor. Nice.
So, we're ready to go. So I had asked everyone whether you had taken advantage of the previous workshops, and I'm really glad that you did. And those that haven't taken or missed the workshop, if you would take the workshop, I think you'd really find them very, very helpful. Now here we're going to discuss, as I said, we're going to look at statutes, cases in administrative law. And we're going to begin with various sources of law. So as you went over in Kevin's class, both the federal and government and states have lawmaking powers through the legislative, the executive, and judicial branches. So we have the Constitution, federal courts, federal and state, the legislature has statutes. In the federal, we have the House and the Senate, and state, the Assembly and Senate. The executive branches have administrative law through their regulations, rules and regulations, and administrative decisions. Now, the rules and regulations are used interchangeably, but that is from the federal agencies and the state agencies. And, of course, judicial branch, you have case law, through federal courts and state courts. So we're going to look at, and we're interested in, where you find federal statutory law, New York statutory law, federal New York administrative law, and federal New York case law. So what I'd like you to remember is that effective legal research requires that you know the forms of legal research, and not only know the form of legal research, but know how the legal information is disseminated. That's very important. So again, with this workshop, we're going to review how to find various sources in both print and online material. So we're going to first look at federal statutory law and its different forms. And those forms are SLIP laws, the U.S. statutes at large, and the U.S. Code.
Let me just pause for a moment.
Okay, and the U.S. Code. Thank you. So with SLIP laws, let's speak about that briefly. They are the first version of a newly enacted statute. And it's called a SLIP law because it's pretty much a slip of paper. And with federal SLIP laws, it has the same pagination as the statutes in law at large. Now, where would you find SLIP laws? There are many places online, in LexisNexis, Congressional, GPO Access, the public and private laws. It's covered from the 104th Congress to present. And in print, you have paper copies that are available over at the Acton Library. Could you just pass this around? Thanks. that are it's available at the Accent Library in their government documents area. I don't know if you've ever been over there in the government documents area. There's this huge room, it's glass enclosed room with the government documents. So the flip laws are then compiled into what is the statutes at large. These are just a chronological, the federal law that is exactly as the language enacted by Congress, and it's in chronological order. And again, there are multiple places where you can find the statutes at large, in both online and in print. But the thing is, how do you access it? So online, again, you have the LexisNexis Congressional, which is a great database. You can browse, you can use keyword searching or by citation. It goes from 1789 to present. High Online, again, you see it's from 1789 to present. And one of the great things about the High Online is that it's in PDF format. And you also have GPO Access, which is a government website. So statutes at large in print are located in the reading room. And it's a print volume by Congress, and it's you'll have the public law number in there. So once you know the public law, you can also find the legislation that you're looking for rather easily. But what do you do if you need to find a statute by subject? So that's when you would want to use the U.S. Code. And the U.S. Code is the codification by subject matter of general and permanent laws of the United States. But let me give you a little background about the code. The first official subject compilation of the federal legislation was the Revised Statutes of the United States, and that was in 1873. And the second edition of that was in 1878. But then after that, it became outdated, and I think it was about 50 years, for almost 50 years, there was no subject compilation of New York laws. In 1926, that was the first edition of the U.S. Code, and it was published, and it was arranged by subject, and with 50 titles, titles slash subjects. So, and in the beginning of each volume of the print statutes at large, you'll see a complete list of the 50 subjects and what they represent in each volume. So the code is published, it's revised about every 6 years, and there's an annual supplement of one or more volumes. Now, the supplement is cumulative, so it's only necessary for you to consult that main set and then the most recent supplement, the latest supplement. And in addition to the text in the statutes, in the U.S. Code, there are historical notes, cross-references, and other research tools. So if you don't know the citation when you're looking for the code within the code, check the popular name table. And if you just don't have any idea at all, as with any of these resources that you're going to be using, check your index. Go to your index and see, you know, and that will no doubt lead you to where you have to go. Now, there are many commercial and government databases also that supply the U.S. Code. And you have Westlaw, Lexis, again, LexisNexis Congressional, GPO Access. And another database that's pretty good is Cornell Information Institute, and it's another place where you can find the code. Now, in print, you have the U.S. Code, I told you about that, with the 50 volumes every 6 years, but you also have annotated codes. Now, the annotated codes are the USCA and the USCS. Now, you've all used this. You all must have used this at some point or another in first-year legal research, have you? At some point? Okay, great. So, the USCA is published by Westlaw, and again, it's in the reading room, you know where that is. And the USCS is published by Lexis. But, here's the thing. The annotated volumes of the USCS and USDA, they go well beyond the laws and the notes and court decisions that you'll find in the official version of the USC. They provide references to legislative history, administrative regulations, various secondary resources, and that was why I was asking you if you went to Tony's class, because you go to those secondary resources, and it may very well just bring you here. So it's one thing just works with another, so that you that aids you with your legal research. But you have to remember, when you're using the print annotated codes, you must check the pocket part for recent amendments and any notes of decisions. But there's more. It offers a lot more. The code also has indexes, parallel references, parallel reference tables, popular name tables. I mean, it's got a wealth of information. Oftentimes, people just find that site, and they race, and they see it a little bit, and then they put the book back in the shelf. There's a lot of information there, and a lot of information that will help you through your research process. So there you have the USC, the USCA, and the USCS. So that is pretty much takes care of statutory law on the federal side. And now we're going to look at statutory law for New York. And it's pretty much the same. It's very similar. You have your bills, and it goes to slip laws, like we said, with federal. And you have your session laws, and then the consolidated code. We're going to be looking at session laws and consolidated laws. Now, what are session laws? Now, when a New York State bill is passed into law, it's called a chapter law or a session law. And you no doubt went over this in Kevin's class, or you will when you take Kevin's Civics 101 class. And the session laws are a chronological compilation of the laws passed each annual legislative session. And you find them in print and online. Now, in print, you'll find the McKinney session laws from 1951 to present in the reading room. And if you want older session laws, you'd look to the colonial laws of New York. And that's located downstairs in the classified section. Do you know the area that we call the stateroom, where all the, you know, the state digests of other states other than New York, more than likely, although we do have New York information down there? So that would be in what we call the stateroom downstairs. So you'd also find them in Westlaw, Pine Online. You see it's available in PDF. And again, you have these session laws, and then they're compiled. But again, what do you do when you need to find something by subject? Do you guys see that there's a pattern here? So the codification by subject matter of New York law is the New York consolidated laws. And the consolidated laws, they are located in many places within the library, both in print, and you can also find New York consolidated laws online. In print, we have McKinney's Consolidated Law Services, and that's printed by Westlaw, and New York Consolidated Law Service by Westlaw, Consolidated Law Services by Lexis. And you also have online resources, New York State Assembly, Lexis, and Westlaw. Now, the McKinney's Consolidated Law Services has many annotations, and it contains many practice commentaries. Both have the annotation, supplemental information, cross-references to secondary resources. It has summaries and interpretations of the statute. But with McKinney's, they use the West keynotes, topic and key number system, which they would not be used in the New York Consolidated Law Services. And the Westlaw topic and key number system, you'll see, is also very helpful with your legal research. So, online, the New York State Assembly website can be a source of information for the consolidated law. Lexis. Now, both Lexis and Westlaw have an official and an unofficial database for the, an annotated and unannotated database for the consolidated law. So available on Lexis, McKinney's, New York, NYSANN is the database that you would check for the consolidated law service. And now remember, You have multiple places to find your consolidated laws. You can check your McKinney's, be sure to check your pocket parts, check your consolidated law services by Westlaw, check your pocket parts, or you can also check a variety of resources that are available online. Again, the Westlaw unannotated, they have an unannotated database, an annotated database, and an index database. In Lexis, they have the annotated database and an unannotated database. So it's really up to you as to which databases you choose to use. Now this completes review of the statutory law area, and I'm going to kind of press for time because we got a late start. So I'm going to move on to the administrative law area. Now, and what we're going to do here is look at the Federal Register, the Code of Federal Regulations, and administrative decisions. But before we get started, we look at those specifically. We're going to, the administrative law is derived or generated from the executive branch. And again, in the civics class, we've gone into more detail as to what makes who makes administrative law, how it's made, and what it is exactly. Here we're going to be focusing basically on where it's located. So forms of administrative law, as you know, the agencies of the executive branch are given authority from Congress, and they delegate this authority to them through statute. So a statutory authority might say something like the commission, CAPC, shall prescribe rules, blah, blah, blah. And it's done this way because that agency has a better concept or has a better way and a more efficient knowledge to determine what rules and what regulations would be necessary to successfully achieve what that statute's supposed to do. So in a sense, the agencies can act sort of like the legislative branch in that, like the legislature has its statutes, whereas the administrative branch would have its rules and regulations. And someone like the courts, where they have their opinions, and the administrative branch would have their administrative decisions. But what we're going to look at is the regulations, or the rules and regulations that the administrative agencies make. So now, what I want you to remember, the difference between a statute and a regulation is that statutes are made by the legislature and that regulations are made by the agencies and the departments of the under statutory authority. So statutes, in a sense, are going to be, would be broader, and regulations would be more narrow, and that would just seem to make sense. But you would think that because you found this more narrow regulation that, oh great, I'm right on point, I'm going to just stop right here. But it would be a good idea to also go to that statute which gave the statutory authority to that agency to create those rules and regulations, because if they're beyond that scope, it may be proven, you know, that rule might be invalid. Okay, so again here we're going to look at the Federal Register, the Code of Federal Regulations, and administrative decisions. So the Federal Register is a daily publication of the rules, proposed rules, and notices of federal agencies and organizations. What does that mean? Now, the regulations are published in the Federal Register as they become final. So they're chronological. And do you see a pattern here? Like, first it comes out, and then it's in a volume that's sort of chronological. And the sources of the Federal Register can be found in print, and it can be found online. In print, they are in the federal area, in the reading room, in the same aisle, I don't know, as if you're going to the USCA and the USCS, you saw these white volumes. Well, that's the Federal Register. And there are also online sources available as well. So, the Federal Register is available in the reading room or available online. GPO access. You see, it's from the first you can, and you can search and browse. You have 1978, which is volume 73. And then you have previous volumes that you can search. You can do a simple advance or even a paid search from the simple searches from 1994 forward, and the advanced or page number searches from 1995 forward. So from 1994 to 2008, so it's pretty, you know, it's pretty current. The Westlaw FRL database, which is where you'd find the Federal Register, from 1936 to current. On Lexis, you go to your legal tab, and then Federal Legal US, FR, Federal Register, and then you can, you know, search within the database. So, before, you know, we move on to the Code of Federal Regulations, I just want to make sure that no one had a question so far about what I was talking about with the Federal Register. Did everyone understand basically what I was saying? Okay. So the CFR, or the Code of Federal Regulations, is the annual publication in which regulations are published. And they're published, guess how? Did I hear subject? They're published by subject. And there are 50 number titles of the CFR, and they represent broad topic areas within the regulation. So let's look at the sources. You have the print source, which is the Federal Regulations, Hine Online, the Electronic Code of Federal Regulations, Westlaw, and Lexis. Now, the print volumes of the Code of Federal Regulations, they don't have pocket parts, but they are updated annually. Quarterly? Does parts of it go quarterly? Is that correct? A part of... Yeah. So, the... But in between the publications, the CFR is supplemented with what's known as an LSA, or a list of Code of Federal Regulations affected. Now, this is published monthly. And the direction of this publication is to lead users to affected or amended sections of the Federal Register. So you be sure to check your, you know, the LSA also when you're using the print Code of Federal Regulations. Online, the CFR is at Hine Online. GPO access, you see the electronic code, the eCFR. On Westlaw. Now there are multiple, there's several databases on Westlaw. It's organized by area of practice, historical, and then there's another area of practice by Federal Register. The CFR and Lexis, Legal, Federal Legal US, CFR, Code of Federal Regulations. And if you want to, and also, just you click the I, that tells you the scope of what the database has. Now, before I continue, I just want to go over quickly the difference between the Federal Register and the CFR. And to do so, it really would be helpful, and some of you did take the Civics 101 class, but it's helpful knowing that rulemaking process that you would have covered in the Civics 101 class. So the Federal Register is going to contain the draft proposals, the draft proposed regulations, calls for comment, expired regulations, meeting notices, announcements, and the final notice. And that the final notice must be published in the Federal Register for the final form to become effective. So remember, like, the Federal Register is published every single day. So it's a great place for keeping up with the latest developments on a regulation, but if you're looking for a final regulation, it probably would be easier to use the Code of Federal Regulations. Okay? So I'm going to go on to administrative decisions. So in addition to making regulations, most federal agencies issue administrative decisions. Now, the tricky part about this is that it's not in one place. So you may find a loose leaf. There may be a loose leaf, or there may be on the agency's website, their decisions might be there, or they may have their own little reporter somehow. But it's not as easy to nail down sometimes the federal decisions in one place. So in your handouts that I gave you, there's an administrative law handout as well. So that would help you find resources for federal decisions, administrative decisions. So we're going to go into judicial decisions and case law. And, you know, case law is the body of law which regulates, to be a precedent, how laws are to be understood based on how prior cases have been decided. And our sources of judicial decisions is federal courts, the Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, District Court, and New York State Courts, Court of Appeals, Appellate, and Supreme Court. And we're going to review, to find cases from these courts, we're going to review case reporters and digests for both New York and federal, and online. And the fact that you all had, you're still first, you're 1 year, one else, you'll know that the reporters and digests, they work together. So we're going to look at those first and how they work together. We're going to be going to the federal reporters first. Now, you have seen these reporters throughout the library. They're just rows and rows and rows of volumes, maroon stripes on the side, and on their spines. Now, the volume sets where cases are published are called reporters, and that's not limited to just federal reporters. In fact, there are about four types of reporters, and they include the federal reporter, which reports federal cases, which we're going to look at next, the regional reporter, which reports cases from state appellate courts. So there may be multiple states within, several states within one reporter, and we're going to look at that a little later. State reporters, subject area reporters, which are from different jurisdictions, but it's about the same topic area, like the bankruptcy reporter. But right now, we're going to focus on the federal reporter. And I just wanted to give you a quick aside that while the opinion itself is going to be the same in all the publications, the unofficial publishers, like Lexis and Westlaw, they add these editorial enhancements, and you know, annotations and editorial enhancements are your friend. So, for example, the New York State Report is the official case reporter, but the Lawyer's Edition, which is published by Lexis, and the Supreme Court Reporter, which is published by Westlaw, they have editorial enhancements, and like a synopsis or headnotes that are written by their in-house attorneys. So it'll certainly be, again, helpful when you're trying to find information on point. Now, Federal Digest, the West Federal Practice Digest 4. Now, the digest is a tool to find cases, and the Federal Practice Digest, it's to find federal cases that were decided in the U.S. Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, District Court, Military Review, other federal courts. And the digest contains headnotes that are used by West key number system. Again, we're going to go back to that topic in key number system, and it carries from the book to online to your reporter. And the topics in the digest, the topics itself are listed in alphabetical order. But when you go to the beginning of your topic, the topics begins with scope notes. So it tells you what that topic includes, and more importantly, it tells you what that topic or that subject may exclude when covering a particular subject matter. There's also like an outline of the topic, and it gives you a list of all the key numbers, which is great because, again, it gives you an overview of what's there. And I, you know, definitely proponent of a table of contents and get a sense of how things look. Because oftentimes people jump onto a computer and just start typing, and they're in Google land. And getting an understanding of how the information is organized can't do anything but benefit your search when you do go online. So again, the secondary resources, or going to the case, looking at the table of contents, seeing what other terms of art might help you. All of that would be beneficial for you. So, as I said, you'll find this Federal Practice Digest in the reading room. So, but how do you use it? You go to your descriptive word index and just search keywords in terms of art that you think are representative of your topic, and use a lot of them. And then once you find a particular topic and key number, you're going to be directed to a volume representing that topic and the key number representing that specific subject. Then you look for a case on point. But never, remember, never cite to this digest. Don't cite to any digest. Go to your reporter, go online, and read your case. And always, when you're using any print volume, be sure to check your pocket part. And you might even flip to your pocket part and it's not there, but then you fail to see that little white softbound pamphlet that's next to it. So look for your pocket parts and look for your pamphlets to be sure that you're properly updating, your information is properly updated. So case law online, there are a lot of sites. And again, that's another reason I gave you this handout, so you don't have to worry about writing all this down. Some of the screenshots may not have come out clearly, but more importantly, information like this did, so that you'll be able to use it later. So that is basically how you'll be finding federal case law. So now we're going to go on to how you find New York case law. And again, quickly, we're going to just do a quick review. The Courts of Appeal is the New York's highest level court, right? Court of Appellate Jurisdiction, the Appellate Division is the intermediate appellate court in New York, and it's broken down into four departments, and each department serves a different geographical area in New York State. Again, this is just a quick review. The civics class goes over it in great detail. And you have the Supreme Court of New York, the Supreme Court of New York is New York's trial court, and it's court of general jurisdiction. And then you have a variety of limited jurisdiction court, like a family court, justice court, and things of that nature. So when we find cases, again, like with federal, you're going to be looking at New York Reporters and New York Digest and New York case law available online. Now, currently, New York has one set of printed official reporters, and that's New York Reports Third. That's the official reporter of opinions in the New York Court of Appeals. Appellate Division Reports, the official reporter for opinions in the Appellate Division. The Miscellaneous Reports, that's the lower court cases. And interestingly, there's about 4,000 cases, nearly 4,000 Supreme Court cases and lower court opinions are submitted to the State Law Reporting Bureau. They're the ones that get this volume together. And they publish about only 25% of those cases. And the cases tend to come from court and appellate term judges and sometimes even attorneys that think that it's a good point of law that should be reported. And New York Sup is the unofficial, New York Supplement is the unofficial reporter containing decisions of the Court of Appeals, the Appellate Division, and the lower court. And if you remember from the earlier discussion, we were talking about the West Regional Reporter System. We have the Northeastern Reporter, which is located downstairs on the rolling stacks, and that reporter contains decisions and memorandum from New York Court of Appeals, but it also has decisions from other states, like Illinois, Indiana, Massachusetts, and Ohio. So you remember that was one of the four types of reporters that were available? So you use the, those are your federal reporters. And to find your case, and if you didn't have your citation and you were trying to find a case by subject, you would go to your New York Digest. And again, it's very much, it's just like the Federal Digest. You use the New York Digest by subject. You go to your descriptive word index. You search for your keywords or terms of art that represent your topic. Use a lot of them. Find your case. Look for cases on point. Don't cite to the Digest. Read your case. And you have New York case law online. But there's a lot of, there are quite a few online, both government and subscription databases that have New York case law online. The New York State Unified Court System, the New York State Law Reporting Bureau website, that's that Cornell Legal Information Institute website that I was talking about earlier, and Lexis. And Westlaw. So that's it. I hope you found it useful. And if you have any questions or you want to think of something later, you have my card. You're more than happy to help you.
For the online resources, not Lexis and Westlaw, but like the New York Courts.gov, like the Supreme Court, others.
Just they're available on the internet.
I find it is totally free.
Totally free.
Okay.
And free too.
Our stuff is down, stuff like that. I'm not running out of a Westlaw bill.
No, not on those. Pardon? HIND is a database that the library subscribes to, so you can access that while you're here, and you can access it remotely from home. But you'd have to go through the portal of death.
Is there a password you have? I've never used it.
Go through the library website, and what it's going to do is jump into a login page. You'd like your name to 700.
Okay. So thank you for coming, and I hope you found it useful. And I, keep those handouts, because a lot of the websites and stuff are there because, I don't know about you, but you go to these workshops and it's like, oh, this is great. And then 6 months from now, it's like, what is that website? So hopefully you'd find all of this helpful. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.